The book of Proverbs since spring or summer, and it's time to come back to Proverbs. We'll look at Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. In just a moment, we'll read the first seven verses. If you want to scan over that, we're asking you to read those in just a moment or two. This here, chapter number 10, begins the second of the three divisions of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is broken down to three separate divisions, and this is the beginning of the second division. To this point, the focus primarily has been on philosophical ideas, addressing the benefits of wisdom versus the bitter consequences of sin. And if you think back through chapter 1 through chapter 9, you would understand that Solomon is writing, and basically he lauds wisdom and then puts down the consequences of sin. So now the book becomes to more a practical focus and emphasizes what I call the stupidity of sin, if you allow me to use that word, and the wisdom of righteousness. We've all talked about righteousness quite a lot in chapters 1 down through chapter number 9, but really it starts to stand out here in these chapters beginning in chapter number 10. And the focus increases. It moves into practical righteousness. And when I say that, I mean it teaches us how to live righteously from day to day. Kind of reminds me of the book of James, which will, if we have service this Sunday evening, we'll be looking at an explanation of the book of James, and I think it would be very beneficial to us. We'll also do a reading through the book of James. It's only five chapters. We can read through that, lickety-split, and then we'll have an explanation of the book of James, and then the following week we'll begin the introduction to the book of James. And I think it would be really wise for us as we move into the practical understanding of God's Word in Proverbs, as we begin to understand how God practically wants to apply our faith to our lives from the book of James. I think the two are going to mesh quite well as the Lord blesses. And so we see here in the first nine chapters, there's been some continuity to the context. And you could go from chapter 1 and go down through the verses, chapter 2, and you'll find that it was similar and it was in continuity. But now the format begins to primarily consists of lists of unrelated proverbs or wise sayings. But there is one thread of continuity found throughout, and that is simply wisdom. It's doing what is right and the folly of sin. Even through all three sections, you find the continuity of that. So I'm going to call this message today, Virtue versus Vice. Virtue versus Vice. If I were to ask you to define virtue, how would you define virtue? It doesn't have to be the textbook definition of it, but how would you define virtue? Nobody can Google it that fast? Yes. Brian. Exactly. It speaks of moral excellence. It speaks of goodness. It speaks of decency. It speaks of doing what's right. When you think of someone who has moral excellence, do you think of this? They're an honest person. They have honesty in their life. How about this? When you think of virtue, does the word modesty come to you? If you see a woman that is fully dressed in appropriate apparel, wouldn't you think that she's dressed modestly? That word virtue sometimes speaks of modesty. And as a side note, but it also sometimes speaks of purity. So the word virtue speaks of moral excellence. But what does the word vice refer to? The word vice. Immorality, yes. Bad habits, yes. I put it this way. Vice refers to wickedness, and it speaks of degrading habits. It's the corruption of our conduct. It's conceived and carried out by the depravity of our own human will. Hundreds of proverbs are recorded in this book. Does anybody know how many proverbs are recorded, actually? I didn't count them, but somebody else counted them. I just looked at what they counted, so I'm just trusting what they said. 375 proverbs are written down for us, and they're really a treasure trove of inexhaustible wealth for you and I. Reminded of Proverbs 3 in an earlier study in verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." So we find this that the Bible's telling us that if we find wisdom and we get understanding, it's more valuable than even gold or silver. I don't know if they understand how valuable gold is today, amen, but it really has shot up, and silver really has shot up. If you bought when gold was low a couple years ago, you're doing pretty good, amen. By the way, don't forget to tithe all that increase as well, amen. Praise the Lord for that. So these proverbs cover every area of life. They cover our personal relationships. They cover our responsibilities to our home and to our family. Listen, they even cover social involvement and social interactions. They even include civic duties and our responsibilities toward God and the government. They commend what is virtuous and contrast it with what is vice. So having said that, let's read here in Proverbs 10. And we'll begin with this as long as my voice holds out. Proverbs 10. Who would read verses 1 and 2? All right. Thank you, Ms. Kay. 3 and 4. Who would read that? All right. Thank you, Diana Carroll. Who would read 5 and 6? All right. Thank you. And who would take home with verse 7? Verse 7. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's read. Boy, just look at verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Father, for this passage of scriptures, Father, that we can look at this idea of virtues versus vices. Thank you, Father, this beginning chapter, chapter number 10 of the second section of the book of Proverbs. I pray, Father, as we delve into this book, Father, in this one chapter, Lord, I pray that your people be blessed by it. May the Holy Spirit of God challenge our hearts. Father, may we be convicted if that's necessary. Father, may we be exalted and lifted up, Father, if that's what is necessary in our lives. So, Father, I pray that you would be with us this evening, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're taking notes, I want you to see, first of all, as we think about virtue versus vices, number one, it's a family thing. It's a family thing. There's nothing like having a happy home. You know what they say, happy wife, happy home. And so conversely, unhappy wife, an unhappy home. But listen, those things don't come naturally. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 128, verse number 1. Psalm 128, verse number 1. I need someone to read verse number 1, then I need someone to read verse number 3. Who would read Psalm 128, verse 1, and then, all right, Brian, thank you, and who would read verse number 3? Who hasn't read yet tonight would like to read? Oh, Adria, thank you, Adria. You're in my peripheral vision there. All right, go ahead and read Psalm 128, 1, and right into verse 3. Verse 3, yes, ma'am. All right, what a wonderful verse. Verse number 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. And then in verse number 3, the psalmist moves right on and talks about a wife shall be a fruitful vine by the side of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Listen, that speaks about a happy home. Here's the truth of the matter. The American home is in a sad state of disarray. All you have to do is just look around. Look at your neighbors to the left, to the right. Hear the stories at the water fountain. Hear what they're talking about when someone is talking on their phone too loud. You understand that our homes in America are in a sad state of disarray. I think most people really are reaping the consequences of raising their families, get this now, without God's help. And that's where the problem lies. They try to raise their family by unbiblical standards. They try to raise their children according to some philosophy that they heard on the internet or read on a blog somewhere instead of by reading God's word. I want to give you four things if you're taking notes, and then we'll stop after this. That four things to make a happy home. Number one, turn to Ephesians 5 and verse number 21. Ephesians 5 and verse number 21. This is just an introduction to the point. Four things that make for a happy home. After reading Ephesians 5:21, could someone guess and tell me what the first point might be? Brian? That's right. The Bible says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. First thing that makes for a happy home is submission. So we know as we look at the theocracy of submission from God, the husband is to be submitted to who? Christ. That's exactly right. The wife is to be submitted to who? Her husband. The children are to be submitted to who? The parents. That's exactly right. And if you want to have a happy home, there's going to have to be some level of submission as God challenges your heart. But then number two, we find the second thing for a happy home is found in 1 Peter 3, verse number 4. Let's turn there. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 4. I need someone to read that verse. I need someone to read verse number 7 as well. We're looking at four things that create a happy home. All right, anybody found 1 Peter 3, verse 4, and would like to read, hasn't read yet today? All right, Dan, and who would read verse 7? Verse 7, John. Okay, Dan, go ahead. All right, so we talk about having a happy home. We find in 1 Peter 3, verses 4 and 7, I summed it up this way with alliterated word from submission is sweetness. There ought to be sweetness in the home. Notice it says, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God, a great price. And there's so much more we could say about that, but time would not allow us to do it this day. And then it says, the husband dwelling with the wife, give honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Listen, men, understand that last part of verse number 7 is something that every man ought to have memorized and ought to have meditated upon. That sometimes if you understand that you don't think your prayers are being heard by God, it might be because of this. So we think, well, what word can we use to summarize a happy home? Well, we have submission. And number two, we have sweetness. Sweetness. There ought to be sweetness in the home. And then number three, there ought to be sensitivity. You know, families ought to consider each other's needs. I'm considering my wife's needs. She's considering my needs. And oftentimes, that as we, the longer we're married together, we lose that sensitivity of what makes the other person click and what makes them happy. There needs to be times of talking in the home, times of touching, times of tenderness. Sensitivity in your marriage is essential if you're going to have a happy life. So, what makes a happy home? Submission, sweetness, but notice, thirdly, sensitivity, but notice, fourthly, spirituality. I think the greatest defense against the world, the flesh, and the devil is our spirituality. It's our maturity in Jesus Christ. I think the first three foundations are literally held together by the fourth, by our spirituality. You know, if we're not mature in the Lord, we're not going to be submissive. We're not going to have sweetness. We're not going to have the sensitivity. If we're not where we need to be with the Lord, all that's going to be out of the way. And we're more focused on ourselves and more focused on my rights and not be sensitive to other people. The only safe home is a spiritual home. a saved spiritual family will be able to weather the storms and stand firm no matter what trials and temptations come their way. If your home is in trouble, guess what? You're going to have to begin with your own spiritual condition. Listen, ladies, it's not your husband's fault. Listen, men, it's not your wife's fault. It begins with you. It starts with you. It begins with your own spiritual conditions. Get yourself where you need to be. Get the spiritual part of the happy home, and all the rest will fall in line. You say, when am I to do it? Right now? Do it right now. Go ahead and do it right now. Psalm 113 says this, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And what would be your answer if I would ask you that question? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The answer would be what? Nothing. There's nothing we can do. And so we'll leave off here. We'll pick back up again next week. And the first thing that we'll see about our families found in verse number 1 is happiness. Amen. So build on that strong foundation of your spirituality. Trust in the Lord. Begin with submission and sweetness, and things will fall in line where they need to be when you have a spiritual home. Let's pray.